Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 513. I am Chris, with energy, along with Tony.
Thankfully, you could listen to this podcast without pre-ordering it.
Sure, otherwise it would just be, it would crash, and then it would come back and go out of stock. Earl is here.
And we are happy to announce that today, just for this podcast only, Earl is available in episode 512 as well, and he has very similar thoughts on that one. So check it out on the Ask Gen podcast.
And our next gen, Jeff, is here as well.
I am also here.
You need to prepare for these ahead of time, Jeff.
That's kind of how I feel about going into this gen, right? It's like, it's also here.
Yeah.
That happened. PS5 had their, was it a showcase? I don't know what the hell they called it.
It was a showcase. According to the Twitter hashtag, it was a PS5 showcase. So yes, that was what was trending. So yes,
it was more of like a pre-order bonanza, though.
It was kind of like a retread of what they did over the summer with two new games. But now more details, because I'm going to say up front, I thought it was a good show, but I also kind of left there being like, you pretty much did this already. You just added Final Fantasy 16 and the Harry Potter game. And I guess the tease for God of War. And because everything else we had seen already earlier this year.
Yeah, and then they just took and put a bunch of digits in there that weren't there before.
Yeah. Which also was very, again, good show. Don't want to get take away from it. But it was so confusing because it's like, okay, for instance, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, it's coming this holiday season. Demon's Souls, coming at some point.
It's at launch, right?
Thank God for Jeff Keighley.
Watching the show, I was like,
thank God for Jeff Keighley to come along and give us all the information we actually need as soon as the show was over.
I don't think I've ever said that.
But yeah, you're watching the actual show, and it's like, oh, Spider-Man holiday. I guess we're not getting a date today. Demon's Souls, it's coming at some point. And then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, we're launching November 12th for this price. And then afterwards, it's like, oh yeah, Spider-Man is coming out on. Demon's Souls is coming out on. It's like, why didn't you announce this at the showcase?
That's
like,
right.
It's one of those weird things where Microsoft didn't do it as much, but it's like this weird thing where the price and data, like this big grand reveal that they saved until the end, where I'm just like, why not put that at the front? So then it then becomes like Spider-Man, launch title, Demon's Souls, launch title. It's like, great, now I understand what's coming with the system if I get it day one.
Yep.
But then again, there are all these people like, I'm not going to say you and me because we'd probably watch the whole thing anyway, but there are all these people who are just waiting for that and then would turn off. And they want to make them sit through all those advertisements. You know, because that's basically what this is, right? They're calling it a showcase, but it's really just a long commercial.
It's a 45-minute commercial.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what everything is. I mean, I think the sooner people accept that, the better people will be off. We'll talk about the Nintendo Direct today in a bit, but it's the same thing. I mean, essentially, these are very just purified PR. They're press releases in digital form. Yeah. Like, you can make a show and a dance. You could put a monkey in a suit. It's still a monkey. And that's what these things are.
I have no problem sitting through a 45-minute commercial for stuff I'm really super interested in and want to know more about. You know, but there are people who you say that to, and they're like, "You would what? Excuse me, what?"
Hell,
pretend this is something else.
I have woken up in the morning and turned the TV on and watched a half hour of some guy trying to sell me a fucking air fryer. and I don't need
that.
That
sounds like a you thing.
Right. I don't think I would do that. That is out of my.
Some of those infomercials are highly entertaining for the wrong reasons.
And to be completely and 100% honest, literally, that is what E3 is for gamers. Like, if you tell anybody else that you are already sitting through an hour and a half press conference to figure out that next hot game's coming through, like, they would be like, it's sitting through the Home Shopping Network or QTV, but for video games.
Right. Yep.
We just happen to be interested in video games. If we love air fryers, I mean,
that you need to watch. I will tell you which one if you find it. You need to watch.
Chris is going to be sending us infomercials now. I can't wait.
The product itself, I don't think is maybe great, but the infomercial is amazing.
But yeah, it's so much wrong. Like Apple had an event this week where they announced a new watch and I think a tablet or something like that. Google has an event. Like, people do this. Like, we sit through it. It's not a big deal. It's just like, I feel like the thesis statement for this was so backwards. So I think, and we'll get to the actual presentation in a bit, I guess. But we all had, we talked to each other outside of this podcast. And I think we all kind of said it's like, this is like the biggest press conference in a while. Where it's like, oh, it sounded great, but, and so much afterwards. Like, but, oh, Spider-Man's also on PS4. Horizon's also on PS4. You can get, like, the first-party titles are now $70. The controller is $70.
Yeah, when those details about the games being on the PS4 started coming out, I mean, I think a lot of people may have lost their impetus for buying a PS5.
Like, right here.
There's really no reason to buy one at launch. No big reason.
I mean, that's a problem I think both of these systems have, right? Like, there's really no need to buy either one at launch. But the Sony one, it was like, you know, they made that big deal back in June. It was May or June where, you know, so Microsoft had said, you know, they're going to have their games on the old consoles and the new consoles for the next little while. And Sony came out and was like, we believe in generations. And, like, we want to give people a reason to buy the PS5, so we're going to make games from the ground up for them. And then to kind of just, like, backdoor, oh, yeah, and Spider-Man and Horizon, which wasn't shown in the showcase.
That's right.
And there was the third one, right?
Sackboy.
Yeah, well, for me, yeah, but yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you want to have, like, this dick measuring contest. And then you realize, like, oh, all dicks are the same size.
Yeah.
So,
but we told you our dick was bigger, so believe us. I don't know. But it did, like, the fact that I thought, you know, Miles Morales was gonna be a launch title for the PS5, and it is. But that I thought it, like, that was the only place I was gonna be able to play it, that had me really going, all right, I'm gonna buy this thing. I don't really need it. Because I just want to play this one game, but
right
now I don't need it. I don't know.
And that is exactly where I am. Because, I mean, I think I would have been tempted to pick up Miles because the gameplay they showed actually is really good. And to take a stab at a game we talked about last week, somebody mentioned the bridge sequence in Miles Morales looks so much better than the Avengers one. We've seen like a half a dozen already. So already it's got an echo on that segment. But I was like, okay, you know, like, this is the game. If I get a PS5, this is gonna be the game I kinda get first thing. And then it comes out, it's coming, and I think it's day and date with the PS4 version. I'm like, oh, I have a PS4, I have a Pro. Because I've had a few people come up to me like, oh, I bet this is gonna make my PS4 Pro upgrade. I'm like, I mean, that's the reason, I guess, but I have a Pro, so
I also have a Pro, but I'm getting one anyway.
And, I mean, I don't have a Pro, but Spider-Man played fine on that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And, I mean, we finally got confirmation, because I think next gen, you get, I think for $70, you get the Spider-Man PS4 as well, with the Miles Morales with it.
Yeah. And that version also has all the Spider-Man DLC, which actually sold it for me, because I hadn't played through the Spider-Man DLC at all. So getting it all in one bundle for like $20 on the up-res version for the PS5 was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for $20 extra, getting that remastered version of Spider-Man that's solid. That's a good buy.
Yeah.
So.
But that's the only game I'm going to have for a whole console.
Well, here's the other thing, and this is the same thing I kind of say. Like I said, you know, you could go back to 512 and the same thing I said about the Xbox One. Okay, even let's ignore the launch on it for now, because Spider-Man and Demon's Souls, I think it's going to be enough for people to be interested in. What is the actual potion sequence here? Because like a lot of the games they showed don't really have, I'm not going to say dates, they don't have nodes. Like saying 2021 does not tell me.
Right. Like, when do we get Horizon? When is God of War? When are these games?
Heck, when is
Ratchet and Clank is 2021, right? I was not expecting that.
I think Ratchet is early. I think it's probably first quarter.
Yeah, they just said it's a launch window. But as we learned from the Wii U, that could be 9 months.
It could be. It could move into, you know, May or June. You know, with how game development is right now, it wouldn't be surprising, but
there's so much uncertainty with the whole COVID stuff. Like, who knows when companies will be back in their offices and be able to crunch full time, and like they can't right now. It's hard.
Yeah.
So they're kind of shooting in the dark, right? I mean, they're like, we can hope for this date, but we're not entirely sure. And they were not entirely sure before, so now they're even less sure.
Right. So yeah, Horizon, I feel, is probably sometime later next year.
Yeah.
It being a PS4 game as well, I think it's a next year game.
Right. That kind of makes me think, yeah, it's a little further along than they may have made it seem.
Yeah.
Well, because of, and again, this kind of goes to a point I don't think I made on the show, I made it on Twitter. It's like, I feel like this upcoming gen, is more like we need a new batch of systems. One in it is like, oh, we have a reason for these systems, because it seems like Horizon is completely capable. It is capable on the PS4. Spider-Man is a game that's capable on the PS4. Sackboy's a game on the PS4. We've seen it with Halo Infinite and Gears Tactics. It's like these are games that you can play on your current systems, which, I mean, I'm all for cross-gen. I think it's a good idea. You know, I would be a hypocritical to not point out the fact that Nintendo's done it with both Twilight Princess and Breath of the Wild. But I still don't understand the thesis statement as to why I need these systems.
Yep. Tony, why do you need a PS5?
I don't. I just want one.
That's fair. I mean, that's where I'm at with the Series X. Like,
yeah. I mean, both of them. You don't need them. You don't need them at all. There's literally no reason to buy a PS5 or an Xbox Series S in November. But they look awesome, and they're going to make the games that you currently play slightly better, and there'll be even better games to come later on. So, you know, why not? Why not get in there now?
Why not wait until there's better games to play?
I think because it's this kind of just this, it's almost like a second upgrade, right? Like, it doesn't really feel like we're moving into a new gen. It's just like, here's a thing that plays your same stuff better, and you'll be able to play new stuff as well. Kind of like why upgrade a phone? Like, I don't need a new phone, but I want one because it's cool and has some new features that I want. And
well, I mean, even this gen that's ending, like the upgrade from the Xbox One to the Xbox One X made it way better. Like, I have a much better experience now. And like, some of the things that they've shown off on these new consoles, the lower loading time, for example, make my life way better.
Yeah, that video out there of the Outer Worlds. Like, that load, that was a long, that game is a long load time on the current Xbox systems. But with that SSD, like, it cuts it down from like 55 seconds to 10 or 11. Which, and that's, you know, that's not great, but I mean, that's a great, you know, vast improvement. But like, that game's not even optimized for the system. So,
right.
Once it does get optimized, like, it's going to be even faster.
Well, plus, if you're playing games that end up loading a lot, like, I play lots of sports games and lots of shooters. Yep. You spend
Madden,
a lot of time
sitting. Terrible.
Madden, it's awful. Apex Legend, you spend a lot of time in loading screen. It's,
yep.
Call of Duty, like any of those games, and to cut those times down by 45 minutes could mean I get in two or three more matches
minutes?
A night. Sorry, I meant seconds.
That's
but that could be two or three more matches a night, and you know,
that is worth it to me.
And I get stuff like that, but again, I feel like that's not a thesis statement that is applicable to a majority of people.
Oh, it's not. All right, for
but
sure,
I can't make a thesis. Now you got me mispronouncing. Thesis statement that's applicable to other people. I don't know what they think. I know what I think.
I think that's what Earl said. All right, yeah. Like it's on Sony and Microsoft to make that statement and be like, here's why you need this, and neither of them have done it yet.
Yeah. Like, I've looked at their information and said, oh, this is why I need it.
Right.
But they didn't tell me that. I had to get that on my own.
Much like Sony's conference yesterday. You have to get a lot of the information secondhand. So, Jeff, no next-gen plans for you at this point?
No, but I'm enjoying hearing you guys talk yourselves into it.
I mean, I was already convinced to get the Series X. Like, that was, I had saved the money up prior to, you know, coming into this fall. I was going to get one regardless. So
yeah, I, if I'm being honest, like if I was buying a system this fall based on something I wanted to play, it would probably be PS5 for Demon's Souls. But
yeah,
I'm not going to buy a PS5 for Demon's Souls. So. It's not happening.
All right. Who wants to put money on it right now? That
I go for it.
Jeff is going to be searching for a console because he's like, "Oh, I got to play it now." I've been thinking about it this whole time. I give it like 2 months of cooking, and you're going to be right there.
You're not going to be able
to stop yourself.
Someone should take that bet.
I'm not taking that bet. I don't know. Jeff's been pretty consistent throughout our talks over since what should have been E3 now, so
it's just sure. And, what's the thing that cracks me up is I want the Xbox more than I want the PlayStation because I know I would like the Xbox. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
and that's where I'm at. Yep.
But it's like I have zero urgency to get the Xbox. I just know that when I get a new system, it's going to be the Xbox. When is that going to be? I don't know.
I'm just saying I'm going to be out there playing Bug Snacks, and you guys are going to be so jealous.
that cat game.
The cat game. The cat game doesn't come out till 2021, though. So I just My son really wants the cat game. Though.
I won't lie. Like, you guys were talking about it in our thread, like about trying to pre-order a PS5. So I did look at Amazon to see if it was there. It wasn't, but if it was, I probably would have hit the button.
Yeah, I didn't want to pre-order it on Amazon, but we didn't talk about this saga of the pre-orders yet and how it just kind of appeared after the press conference.
Well, part of it was, kind of the butt end segment of this was that they said, and I think this was Jeff Carey, pre-orders go on sale tomorrow, which would be today. Today we're recording it. So everybody's kind of preparing for that mentally. And then I've already said it. It's like, oh, it's up on Walmart. No, it's up on Target. It's up on Best Buy. It's up on... So people were just kind of like, I woke up to that. I pay attention. If you are a gamer who likes discount, I would always recommend following Wario64
mm-hmm.
and the cheap-ass game of Twitter accounts because they usually post those quickie. So I have friends who are like, I'm looking forward to this. I'm like, I see these deals, I pass it along. I woke up this morning to a bunch of people like, oh man, I guess I fell asleep and I missed all these pre-orders. And it was like, okay, a lot of them went up overnight. Like not even last night. They went up at 10, 11 p.m. So a lot of them, I think almost all the major retailers did it. Best Buy, Target, Walmart.
Walmart started it. They tweeted it was almost right after the press conference. We're like, screw tomorrow. We're putting it up now.
Yeah. Amazon was the last one of the big ones, I think. They went up at like 11:30 or midnight.
Which was good, because at that point I had been sitting, because I really wanted to get it at Best Buy, because, I like my points, I like my rewards. But I had been on the Best Buy site for like an hour, and it just wasn't working. And then by the time it was finally working, they were sold out. So when it hopped up on Amazon, I'm like, all right, getting it there. Not my preferred place, but we'll take it. Take what we can get.
Yeah, and it wasn't just PlayStation 5 pre-orders that were pretty shitty last night.
Yeah.
This morning, but that's, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I just wanted to also point out one other thing, which is it kind of sucks, and I don't remember if we pointed this out last week. I think we might have, is that Sony also sent out emails to fans being like, oh, you've kind of been selected for this elite group that's going to be able to pre-order like PlayStation 5 early. And apparently in the second wave, not everybody got those emails right away. And like, it's one of those things, again, where like, it's so disjointed that people didn't get those emails, or they got the email. Like, those pre-orders don't go up until tomorrow. So yeah, like Friday.
Oh, and that's still just a chance to get one.
Yes. And that's even if you got the email to be entered into this lottery to get into.
How shitty do you feel if, like, you know, you filled in your information, you feel like you're a pretty big PlayStation fan, and you didn't get selected? Like, oh shit! Like, not even you didn't get. Yeah. Hello, sorry.
Hi.
I touched the wire. My fault. You didn't get selected to choose to even get into this pre-order thing, and then these people that did, they might not even get a chance to actually get the device. So,
yeah. I honestly don't know, because I mean, like, do you sit on it? Do you hope for the best? It's one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, I have friends who I've seen a lot of people on Twitter. I have friends who are just like, yeah, I got this email like 2 weeks ago, and now I didn't get any follow up, and I'm just like, that sucks for you.
Yep. But that sucks.
And I think the biggest thing, and again, I don't know if it's because somebody pointed this out to me. I put this together, but I listened talking to people, because usually when generations transfer, a lot of people sell their older systems to help pay for the new systems.
Yep.
And I felt like this gen in particular was really strong in that, because between what Sony announced, and we have not talked about this yet, we'll get to it in a second, and Xbox Game Pass, there's really no good reason to hold on to your current gen hardware.
The main, I'll give you a reason. The main reason I would even consider getting a new system this fall is so I could put my One X in my bedroom, and so I have a good device in my bedroom for like,
for streaming and stuff, yeah.
Streaming, yeah. Which is like, my girlfriend wants me to get one just because of that. Because in the bedroom, we're fucking rocking the PS3, which is like, in my opinion, not the best. I don't even know where the cord went for my controller, so I can't even like use it right now. The controller's dead.
But I mean, but on the other end, for somebody like me who has one TV, like, if I replace the PS4 Pro with the PS5, it's still going to do the same exact stuff do now. So like this, get into it real quick. Like, Sony announced their PlayStation Collection. So a lot of these games are going to have available anyhow digitally. It's like, yeah, there's really no reason to keep around. Like with the 360 on the PS3, there's still a lot of games that aren't backwards compatible.
And I'm sure, though, right? It was more.
Especially at launch, none of them. I don't think either one of them were really backwards compatible.
No.
The Xbox One added it via software update later on. So yeah, but now it's like, yeah, there's really no reason to keep them around, and the only thing is the time you'll get the best value for it, because GameStop will usually give you like $200-$300 for these systems. But and honestly, if they do that, I'm like, yeah, sure, maybe I'll jump on it. But like, on paper, there's really nothing that I want.
Yep.
Here's my recommendation. If you're trying to like pre-order one of these systems, take that money, put most of it in your pocket, and then buy the Friday the 13th box set coming out this October.
No, Jeff. No.
No. No, that's a terrible idea.
Okay, so Jeffrey, as somebody who's a fan of this Friday the 13th series.
Yes.
Let's say that you've put that money aside and you pre-ordered it. What are you going to do next?
Watch it when it comes out. Dig through all those extra features. Okay.
There's what, 11 movies?
12.
yes, 12 movies. they're about two. If anything, they're like 2 hours. If that, that's 24 hours. I could finish that in a weekend.
You gotta watch all the extras, and then you gotta watch the commentary tracks.
Okay, so this comes out October, what, 14th or 15th or something like that.
It's going to be a hell of a Halloween, guys.
That is still almost a month before these systems come out. I put the money towards this device. I watched the movies. I've watched the extras. I've watched the commentary.
And then you cherish it forever, Earl. Forever.
I still have.
You just admire that box.
Then November comes around. I have this huge gap in my heart now. I have no new video games. I have no new consoles. I have all this money sitting in my bank account. What am I to do then?
To be fair.
Okay. That I got it.
To be fair, Friday the 13th, November 13th is Friday the 13th. You can watch it on that day.
See, you started over again.
Okay.
And same, here's what you do. Same weekend, you start your fifth playthrough of Super Mario Sunshine because you're just loving it.
No.
So much.
That was my first playthrough.
Counterpoint to that, and I guess a point of discussion we haven't had, PlayStation 5 is launching November 12th. Yes. We now have on paper that these two consoles are literally launching 2 days apart.
Yes.
The Xbox is launching Tuesday, November 10th. PlayStation is launching Thursday, which is odd, November 12th. 2 days apart.
I'm going to have boxes all over my apartment. Everywhere. Yeah.
You might as well have the FedEx guy to send it to your apartment. That week. you know, just stay here. I will sign for anything. Just kind of bring it to my door.
Bring me everything on your truck.
It speaks to them. Just say, no, you can all deliver this on Friday for me.
It's okay. Bring it all.
But yeah, I could be wrong. I think this is the closest that any consoles have ever gone towards each other.
I think 4 and the 1 were like a week apart, week or 10 days. So like they were close, but still like.
And I think the Wii and the PS3 were a few more days apart. I don't know if it was a week or if it was like a Tuesday, Friday. But I know they were super close as well.
I don't remember the Wii release because I didn't get one for like 7 months.
That is fair. I just remember it because it was around, they were, okay, so I'm making it up, they were 8 days apart. So the PS3 launched on November 17th. No, 2 days apart. Wow. Okay, the PS3 launched on November 17th, the Wii launched on November 19th. So that is the closest thing. So the second closest would be this launch. But again, I also think people consider the Wii a much different beast than the PS3 at the time.
Very different in power, for sure. Yeah, so.
And I guess the other thing, I mean, we are, this is really weird because we're talking about it as a nebula, it's not necessarily in order of the presentation or anything like that, was that the price came out that it's $400 for the disc version and $500 for the disc version, which puts it on, like, the disc version is equal to the Xbox Series X price. The PlayStation 5, is it just called the digital version?
Digital edition or something like that.
Digital edition is $400 compared to the Xbox Series S, which is $300. The difference being that the Xbox Series S is closer to an Xbox One S than it is to a PlayStation. The PlayStation 5 digital edition is the PlayStation 5.
It is the PlayStation 5, yes. The Series S does have a faster CPU than the PlayStation 5, though. But the GPU is a little bit weaker and it has less RAM, yes. Yeah, so $300, $400, $500, that does your pricing.
$160 for Friday the 13th.
I own Friday the 13th already, though, Jeff.
So do I. Hey, you're buying a fucking... It's pointless buying the new system.
It's true.
Not, it's not pointless to buy.
There's lots of new things on this Friday the 13th. It's very special to me. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So Earl had asked for some thoughts. So Sean, our buddy Sean, said his only thought is he's surprised that the online one is so much cheaper. I'm kind of surprised at that too, that they were able to. I was thinking $50 difference, but they went hard with it and went $100. He's confused by the PC releases or not of Final Fantasy 16.
That was, I mean, I guess that's the other thing we haven't talked about is a lot of those games, it's like, come an exclusive, you get a PlayStation 5. Space. Also, maybe available on PC. .. Timed exclusive on consoles.
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy 16, I think, is both of those things, where it was announced as a console exclusive, and then it kind of came out that it's timed exclusive, and it's also coming to some point.
Yep, and then I guess somebody at Square kind of walked that back, and we're like, oh, we can't really say anything about that. As of right now, it's only coming to PlayStation 5, but... like there's other information out there. Like Sony themselves had said that it was coming to PC, and there's information out there that it's probably coming to other consoles. Like there's a lot of asterisks in this presentation, but that's fine. And Demon's Souls launched with a weird disclaimer that said it was possibly coming to other consoles and to PC. Like, strange stuff going on. I think that's everything from the PlayStation thing.
I mean, except for the big tease of God of War 2 or God of War Ragnarok. I don't know what we want to call that.
God of War, they finally kill that annoying kid.
Oh, kid's going to be the star of the show. But yeah, I think that's the gist of it. We touched on it as far as exclusivity, but it is a kind of a big get for them to kind of have Final Fantasy 16 exclusive. But it's also one of those weird things where it's like, yeah, I mean, Final Fantasy sells better on the PlayStation anyhow, so it's just kind of it's sticking over the Xbox consumer base without really much gain because this is a franchise already associated with so much with PlayStation,
right? It's, like, I mean, I would have bought it on Xbox if it was available there, but if it's not, like I will buy it on PlayStation, and anybody that was going to play Final Fantasy probably was buying it on PlayStation anyway.
Yeah, and I will say I'm not the biggest, I'm not a Final Fantasy fan, I'm not going to say I'm the big, but it also kind of super uber generic, which I was kind of like a generic fantasy, I should say, not necessarily generic.
But that is also something that fan base has kind of been wanting for a little bit, because they've gone very hard with like weird modern or futuristic approaches in the last few. So a return to like high fantasy has kind of been something fans have wanted out of that series. And Final Fantasy is always weird. Like there's, you know, even though it may appear high fantasy, there's also like flying spaceships and shit. Like they always fit like weird sci-fi stuff into it. It's just, this definitely looked more traditional up front.
Yeah.
I was excited.
I mean, I'm sure a ton of people are excited, but it was just, like, if you were to tell me, like, this was a new blah-blah-blah game, I'm like, yeah, I could buy that. Like, it doesn't seem like it didn't, there was nothing that really screamed, like, this is a new Final Fantasy to me, as far as what I expect from Final Fantasy. It's like, if the Legend of Zelda went into a Skyrim thing, it's like, yeah, it's not Zelda at that point. It's just trying to, copy the industry's trend.
And it's like, what do you expect out of a Final Fantasy?
I mean, really kind of, you know, for design, Japanese characters, you know, a bit, like, it walks, I want to find a term that's better than cartoony, because it's not cartoony, it is realistic, but it's kind of, it's closer like a manga or an anime style than it is just a American realistic portrayal of stuff.
Okay. Where
this one feels like if you were to say it's a Western RPG, I wouldn't bat an eye.
I think you'll get more of that feel. Like this is from the it's being directed by one of the proteges of the guy who's in charge of Final Fantasy 14 currently. I think you'll get more of that visual look as it moves on.
And like I said, I'm also probably not the person you want to cater to because I'm not a Final Fantasy fan. Like, this really does nothing for me, no matter what it is. I was just like, I saw it, I'm like, oh, I guess this is Final Fantasy, so.
Yep. So Final Fantasy, Resident Evil 8, not exclusive, though.
No, not exclusive.
Fortnite. Not exclusive.
Definitely not exclusive. So I will say, personally speaking, I was so sad that I recognized Fortnite right away. I'm like, I've been playing that game way too.
The bus, like before they even showed anything, and I was like, sounds for it's they're bringing Fortnite to PlayStation 5.
My reaction was very funny because it was like oh, finally cut in this presentation. Because out of the game, then it's not that they're that color, but they're a bit more earth toned too. Because even like Miles Morales was at night,
very dark,
red, yeah. And I'm like, oh, colors, and I'm like, oh, when it's Fortnite. And part of me is disappointed, but part of me is also like, yeah, probably playing Fortnite right now, and he has to.
I mean, actually, this current season might still be going on, so you might still be
going on. I think the current season might finish just in time because, I mean, I think in November is when they're releasing the DC Joker pack. So I think the season will wrap up because the season's usually, we just entered week 4.
Yes.
And the seasons are currently around 10 or 11. So that would be, that would push through the end of October. So
I think this current season of Apex Legends wraps up that week too.
Oh, good.
Oddly enough. Well, I mean, Apex Legends is doing the same thing. Like, they have their up-res version of their new engine on the new console.
So maybe the new seasons don't start until that week.
Yep.
Well, fun. So that was the PlayStation 5 reveal and the pre-order nightmare that happened. Was the NVIDIA pre-order nightmare, was that the next morning?
I think that was this morning.
Yeah, the next morning. And that apparently was a much, much worse nightmare because that seems, as far as I can tell, from any source I've seen, it's like, I don't think any actual person got it. It seems like it all went to bot. Like, I know, Idaho, Sean.
Yeah.
Went through that. But like, I was watching, like, we'll get to it in a second. I watched the Easy AI stream of the Nintendo Direct this morning. And even people like that, well, like, they were on the stream watching that and still trying to get this graphic card on the side, and they didn't get it. Like, it got to the point, and I don't have the article in front. I don't have it in front of me. I just saw it on Twitter in passing that eBay got involved because, if I'm not mistaken, you pre-ordered it tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. And eBay, I guess, doesn't out of selling of pre-orders. So even eBay's getting involved with this because a bunch of bots bought it up so that they can sell for jack the price on a secondhand market.
Yep, and there are also similarly PlayStation 5s out there on secondhand markets selling for $1,200 and $1,300.
Mm-hmm. And eBay's also looking at that. Because again, you can't sell something you don't physically have.
Yep. I mean, it happens all the time on eBay anyway.
Right. Yeah, I think the difference is it's like the quantity.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
This whole thing though with the sellers and the bots, like, I don't understand why companies like Amazon and Best Buy and Newegg haven't figured this out already. Like, how do they not have this problem solved?
Because it's not the problem to solve. I mean, to them, they still make the money.
Like, right, except you're driving your customers away, right? They're going to other places to buy the product now because they literally can't get it from you.
Right, like Tony ended up buying the PS5 from Amazon. He wanted to buy it from Best Buy, but Best Buy was so fucked that...
So yeah, so Best Buy misses out on a $500 transaction. Like,
and in the process, like, angers a little bit.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Now I'm like, the next time a console goes on pre-order, am I going to look at Best Buy? Like, if I can't get my Xbox there, this is probably the last time I even try.
Right. It's like, what are you saving up all those rewards points for then?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, the NVIDIA thing was a nightmare. Sean was not happy. we woke up to a long litany of complaints about NVIDIA. he would like us to state that they suck and he hates them now. let's see. What else did we? We had the Nintendo Direct thing today. Partner showcase.
The Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase, September 2020 edition. I know that the 2010 is in Taito, but it's part of their Royale. And this is the third one we've had this year. And I think this is the first one that kind of realizes their vision for this, which is essentially just an update. Again, like I said, once you accept that these are verified PRs, you make a much happier life. And I think the biggest thing with them is like you always need a thesis statement. You always need a this is like what you should take away from that. Because I'm almost certain I'm going to ask you folks right now. Outside of the two Monster Hunter games, can you name what else was in that the showcase?
Hades and Ori.
Okay.
And Balum Garden.
Balum Wonderland.
Yeah, whatever. the one with the cutesy, the visually appealing 3D platformer.
Yes. And then there was a bunch of other games sprinkled out. But as always, you can remember, like the big titles, that's the big takeaway from here. So the big takeaway from here was that the Switch is getting an exclusive Monster Hunter.
Two of them.
Monster Hunter Rise, which is out March 26, 2021, which is an evolution of the Monster Hunter, the pre-world design with some world quality of life adjustments added to it.
It looked good.
It did. It looked really good.
And I said this on Twitter, and I said this to anybody. Like, it's great. Monster Hunter seems like such a great, fun game. And I'm going to go through the same cycle I've gone through with 4 Ultimate and World. Is I will buy it.
Yep.
I will pay about 2 hours.
Yep.
And realize this is not for me.
Yep.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy.
I will say I put probably 75 hours into Monster Hunter World. My kids, though, are obsessed. So when they saw the trailers for the two new games, they're super excited.
World was, I think, the easiest to get into.
Yeah. But it's like a great way. It's a gateway, though. So if you could get into World, like the bar for entry to the other games is now that much lower. So like since my kids played World first, they could get into Monster Hunter. Ultimate? Hunter 4 Ultimate, the other Switch one.
Yeah. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, I think.
Yeah.
And now Rise.
So since they can play those games, they can play that one. The other game, though, did not look at all like a classic Monster Hunter game.
Stories is a turn-based RPG.
Like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's even better.
Yeah, the first one was on the 3DS. It's a cute little game.
Yeah, and I understand. I mean, I'm happy for the sequel. And I actually prefer Spritz because I'm much easier to deal with a turn-based RPG instead of the combat system. I don't want to grudge Monster Hunter's combat system. It's great and people enjoy it. But it's like, I always say it as a button masher and that just never works. Stories is a turn-based RPG and that's easier to get into because it is closer to a Pokemon in that I forget the monster's names, but you have a monster partner that you start off with. And
I think it's a Rathalos.
Yes, there we go. And over the course of the game, you can befriend and tame other monsters that join your party and level them up and stuff like that. So it is very much like Pokemon. It even has a the rock, paper, scissors dynamic that Pokemon has with the fire, ice, and fire, water, and grass dynamic. I don't think it's as strict as Pokemon is in that regard. I also think it would have behooved them if possible to release, because again, the original one, the 3DS was a great selling system, but it is still a handheld, and I think a lot of people may not have experience or exposure to it, because it came out near the tail end of the 3DS, around the Switch's launch time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a few years ago that it came out.
Yeah, October 8, 2016. So really just before the Switch was announced, so that would have taken all the shine and spotlight off of that game. But it, I think they both did good. Yeah. I think that story looks much better. I think I like that East Cell shaded have going for it.
Yeah, it has a more stylistic look where Rise looks like we're fighting. Like, I mean, it has that anime like quality to the armor and everything, but it definitely looks like we're fighting real monsters. Like,
yeah. But yeah, I think, I mean, as far as big gets go, especially in Japan, those are two huge titles for Nintendo. Especially being that they missed the boat on World, which I believe remains the best selling games in the Monster Hunter franchise.
Ori.
And Ori. Ori and the World of Wisps.
Yes.
Is out now on their Switch. And I made this comment on Twitter jokingly, but yeah, it is kind of ironic that Microsoft is one of the most prolific third-party publishers on Nintendo's system.
Prolific,
there we go.
They did both Ori games, Minecraft, Cuphead. Minecraft Dungeons.
Cuphead. So yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, I think they've done a better job than EA at this point.
Yeah. And it's crazy because I would probably, like, I mean, Madden's not phenomenal, but if you gave me a Madden that I could play on a handheld, I would maybe be tempted to buy it.
It is weird, but that's a whole different discussion. And I guess the other big thing, and it's kind of in the vein of a Sony announcement, was the Saga? I don't know.
Disgaea.
Disgaea 6 is exclusive to the Switch, and that's coming out next summer. That seems to have been like a .. as well. It seems like it's exclusive to the Switch. I mean, as far as we're concerned, it is. But it's coming to the PlayStation 4 in Japan as well.
Okay. I don't know anything about that series, except it's a tactical strategy RPG. I guess similar to like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Well, you know how you can find out more about it?
By watching that direct.
I was going to say, it is a free demo, I think, for the next week or so. Of the fifth version on the Switch.
I heard it's very grindy, so it doesn't really appeal to me. But
it does, I don't know if it appeals to me, but I'm just pointing it out. That was one of the other announcements. I think the other announcement, and this wasn't, I mean, it was on this Nintendo Direct, but it wasn't Switch specific, was Hades came out today.
Yeah.
And I mean, I will be honest with you. I've seen a lot of people talking about it on my time. And the way people are gushing about it, I kind of am tempted to pick it up. I think $20.
That sounds about right. I have liked everything I've played by Supergiant Games.
Yes.
They did Bastion, Pyre. I did not play the one they did in between there. I've liked everything they've done, but the fact that this is a roguelike.
Yeah.
Has me iffy.
But not all roguelikes are bad. I my game of the year last year was Shade of Spire, and that's a roguelike, and that was great. Because that roguelike was different. That was just like the setup of the dungeon, and you get to choose the path. And even, what was the other one before that? Death Cells?
Dead Cells was good, yeah. Jeff liked Dead Cells quite a bit.
Yes.
Is not with it. There we go.
I'm with you.
And Rogue Legacy, also a roguelike. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And also, I guess if you're into like 3-year-old ports or whatever, a Sniper Elite 4 is coming out to the Switch this year.
Wonderful.
And I think those that was the, I mean, I think that was the big gist of it. But yeah, I think between this week and last week, I will say that I think 2021 is interesting for almost all parties right now. I wish 2020 was as interesting. But yeah, 2021 has a ton of great titles up right now. For, you know, we already have like 3D World. We have Horizon. We have Halo Infinite, fingers crossed.
Fable.
They delayed it. They didn't say how long they delayed it for. We got word not today, this week, that No More Heroes 3 was delayed into 2021. Monster Hunter Rise, Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Resident Evil 8 early next year.
Resident Evil 8, I assume Resident Kang Rift. Yep. So again, 2021 looking really good on paper. Fingers crossed that it plays out well, because 2020 is a dumpster fire. Even though, like, I think 2020, in terms of video games, ended up slightly better than I anticipated at the start of the year, but slightly worse than I would have expected with two new consoles launching.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
Still some time.
You more so, because you were the one who was like, 2020 is going to be a great year for gaming at the start of this year.
I think we all went into 2020 going, this is going to be a good year. We've all been fooled.
Yeah, but then I think like after everything changed, I was more like, well, but I don't know.
Even before things changed, Jake, I mean, I think it's telling, and maybe I just missed it, but between the Xbox and the PlayStation presentation, we really had no update on Cyberpunk. I really don't think that game is this year.
They did announce something today, stating, oh no, it was the day, it was yesterday when PlayStation had their event. After it, they did say that their game is coming the 19th.
Good day.
Which you'll be able to play it on both of the new systems.
Ooh.
So they were like kind of like a launch title. It's not, because it's not the upgraded versions, but whatever. But so they're sticking to that they're coming out in 2 months.
So. Okay.
We'll see.
I'll say this, though. I think this is, for me personally, this is a better year than the last couple years for games. Just like, I got some games I really loved this year, like Tony Hawk, for one, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm happy.
What is this Tony Hawk game?
It's a good skateboarding game.
I thought it was a game about birds.
It is about a bird named Tony.
Can he fly?
Kind of.
Yeah, sure. In some cases, sometimes he crashes.
I believe I can fly.
If I'm controlling him.
I believe I can touch the sky.
There was also a Ubisoft event. I don't remember anything from there except for this
one. We covered this last week.
Did we?
Yes, this was with the the Riders Rebellion and
Yes. And I didn't remember anything from that. So.
I was gonna say I don't remember a new Ubisoft event. We covered this last week, so I don't have to remember what happened last week Thursday.
No, good. I've lost track of time again.
It's okay, so, it's still March, right?
March.
I haven't been to work since March, so I guess.
Yeah. Oh shit. So yeah, that's the news for the week. What have you guys been playing? Tony, you said you finished. This can make Earl so happy.
You brought this up.
You finished Face of the Franchise in Madden.
I did. My player, after a long career where he surpassed the accomplishments of every other NFL quarterback in 8 seasons, he retired.
That's amazing.
The funny part is the game ends with this like weird ceremony at your old high school where they're dedicating a billboard, and the sound cut out on mine. It was completely silent the whole time.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of those audio bugs.
It was definitely like the crown of the entire Madden experience this time around.
Sucks because when it works, the football is decent.
The football is great. I think the game plays super well when it works, but you know there are other times where you run into invisible linemen or.
Yep.
I keep getting that snow bug
where everything turns white. That one's awful.
It's bad. You can't see what's happening. You literally have no idea what's going on. I've had it happen on consecutive plays. I've never had it happen more than two or three times in a single game, but it's annoying for that one play where you're like, I can't see a thing.
Sometimes people just want their cocaine. What's so wrong with that?
I can't snort the TV.
The amount of cocaine that's on the screen. Yeah, that's that face of the franchise thing is so weird.
It's an odd mode. I think the storyline is different. Like, I think your experience is different from my experience.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Because some of the stuff that you said happened didn't happen to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I'm still in contact with my buddy.
Yeah, he texted me, like, at the end.
Okay.
Like in my last season, that was the first time I'd heard from him the whole time. But they were texting back and forth like they'd been talking the whole time.
Weird.
So maybe the events just transpired different. I don't know. Did you every game they have that goal that you need to reach?
Yes.
So I reached it every time. Did you reach it every time?
Currently, yes. No, nope. There was one where I missed because I misread it, and I thought it said get 250 total yards. But it must have been 250 passing yards. And I only passed for like 240. And I ran for another 60. So maybe because I failed that one?
Yeah, I feel like that could affect how the storyline actually proceeds.
Huh. It's so weird how that game handles, like, just because of the, like, you know, we follow football outside of Madden.
Right.
And, like, you know, somebody does great on the field, and like you don't bring them in the next game, and like we're gonna bench you.
Yeah, what was happening doesn't make sense. Like my guy is like getting benched after a game where he threw 8 touchdowns. Okay,
right,
that's not gonna happen. Like, I'm sorry.
What? Well, you're not doing what the team needs. I'm literally doing everything the team needs.
Yes. You're benching me. I threw 425 yards in that game, and you're benching me afterwards. I don't understand what is happening right now.
It's like really weird, like just
like you're too hurt to play. What do you mean I'm too hurt to play?
The doctors are shutting you down. Like
they're shutting me down after a game where I had a perfect QB rating. That's great. That's great.
I just threw 5 touchdowns to Amari Cooper in the NFC Championship game. Well, you're not going to play till next year. Okay. Oh well, Madden.
Madden.
Earl's favorite game. Have you played any of that NBA game?
I have not. I'm saving that for
Marriage X-21
Series okay. X.
I'm just wondering because no, like
not for marriage. I've already saved everything.
It seems like that's getting ripped apart by fans as well for not making advancements.
Oh no!
Oh no!
But so I guess we'll keep the sports train going. Jeff, you finished Tony Hawk.
Sports game of the year, baby.
I would agree with that.
I can't disagree because the only other sports game I played is Madden. And
they're all not bad.
Awesome. Like golf seems competent, but
it's all right.
Tony Hawk's great.
I beat that too, but I've been obsessed with two things in Tony Hawk lately.
Just
and that
two?
Is, just two. Trying to beat my friend's time on the first levels of each game. So, like, the warehouse and the hangar. We've just been going back and forth. It's been a lot of fun. Fucking, I thought I had him on the warehouse. I had, like, I had 74 seconds. Pretty good to do every goal in the level in like a minute and 14 seconds. He came back at me. He cut it down to, I think, 71 seconds. And I was like, I'm never going to top this. And then I posted a 53-second time. So it's pretty fucking good. like literally, you know, 20 seconds away, basically, from the top players in the world. So,
which is, it's insane that like people are doing it in 30 seconds because there's like a list of like 8 or 9 things you have to do. It's crazy.
You'd have to do them all at once with no misses and be doing, you know.
You'd have to like get like basically you'd have to get all the score ones with one trick, one combo.
Yeah, basically. And you know, that doesn't totally surprise me now that I've seen some people on YouTube like how good they are at getting high combos. Shit, I'll never be able to wrap my brain around, but so yeah, I think I'm pretty good on. I don't think he's gonna beat me on the hangar, but. He finally topped me on the warehouse after like a lot of work. I guess he was like playing it for days. I want to say my time was like, 104 seconds, and he got 94. And I haven't been able to come back on top of that. Closest I got is 96 seconds. So I'm like 2 seconds away from like beating him on the, what did I say, on the hangar.
Yeah. I am not anywhere close. I think I did like 1 or 2 runs, like 320 seconds
on the warehouse, which,
yeah.
Hey, you know, the first time I did the hangar one, I think I was at 4 minutes and 27 seconds. I don't know how many seconds that is, but you know,
you just gotta learn like the route you want to take.
And, yeah. And experiment. It's fun. It's, you know, if I would suggest trying, I don't know if you're going to beat my 53 seconds.
No,
but I actually have only officially posted 57 seconds, but I don't think you're going to beat either of those. But you know, I think that the time on hangar is beatable. But yeah, and the other thing I've been really obsessed with in the game is playing through the levels with all the skaters and getting all the stats. That's a lot of fun. And you actually, there is something you get for doing that, each skater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once you get all of their stats, like, they're all completely, like, you know, you've gone through the whole game, get every stat in the game, you get a movie, like a 2-minute movie of them skating. It's a nice actress.
Cool. Yeah, oh, like so an actual, like, live clip?
Yeah. It's like a kind of a montage of them, you know, doing all sorts of tricks. Like the Tony Hawk one is really cool, I think.
So each character that you go through, like they have their own. Oh, that's neat. Like, yeah. That's a reason for me to keep playing it then.
I will. And you know what else is really cool? So like you get stats by like you play a stage and like they're hidden, you know, let's say the very first level of the game has 2 stats on it.
Yep.
If you play with a different style of skater, like, so like I think Tony Hawk's like a vert skater. If you play with a street skater, the stats are hidden in different places. In all levels. So even if you think you know what you're doing with all of them, like often they move around. I will say that like each style of skater, there are like probably 2 to 3 stats in the game that are just like really fucking hard to get. But you know, keep at it, you'll get them. Like just getting those movies is like really kind of, I don't know. It's been enough to draw me towards like doing that. So
I've been playing with a created skater and I am 5 stat points away from closing that one out.
Oh, you don't get a movie for that one.
No, I didn't know you got anything for playing it yet. So I was like, I'm going to build up my own character. Cause like, you know, you get like cool, like hoodies and, you know, jeans and decorate your skateboard and shit. So,
yeah, that's the good reason to have your own custom skaters to actually like do something with all those things you unlock, you know, like all the boards and the clothes and all that. But I think you will get an achievement for getting, all the stats the first time. So there's a reason to finish up with that.
I am at Philadelphia right now, which is the next to last park. So,
yeah, it's cool, man. Fucking like that. I think getting those stats is going to keep me busy. I want to be able to have it so like if people come over, like they could choose any skater that they want, and it's going to be like equal
totally footing. Maxed out. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. The game's great, dude. It's fucking. I'm surprised by how good it is.
I mean, I've already put like, I mean, you put way more time, but just playing with my created skater, I put like, you know, 10, 12 hours into it.
Yeah.
Like going through with all the other skaters, and there's a good selection of them. Like,
yeah, there's good. I mean, you could probably get their stats filled out in an hour or two of playing. Cause like,
yeah, you don't have to do everything. You have all the parks unlocked already.
Yeah, and once you get the stats and the level, you can just be like, all right, end run, go to the next level. So, like, very quickly, I could build up a skater from, like, nothing to pretty damn fucking close to done in, like, a half an hour, you know?
It is one of those games where it's, like, because the runs are only 2 minutes long, it's, like, a great...
Yeah.
Just one more.
And the thing about, like, all the time that we've put into... Like, even you said you've put in at least 10 hours or whatever into this game. It's essentially an arcade game, you know?
Yes.
It's fucking fantastic. You're going to be hearing us fucking sing its praises for, like, the rest of the year.
It is high up on my list for the year, so.
Yep.
Earl, is Among Us high up on your list for the year?
Earl's gone.
Earl died.
Speaking, it's not this year. I did not realize until this week that it's a 2-year-old game that has found a new lease on life because people are into it. But what I played, it's a ton of fun. If you've played Mafia or Werewolf or any of those kind of secret roles, hidden deduction games in real life, it is basically that with a bit more mini games tied into it. So you are in a, I want to say like a space station. Or a work facility. I don't really know what you want to call it. I assume a space station because you also shoot asteroids at some point. And so the overall task for your team is to work on a competing task, which could be something as simple as emptying the trash, rerouting power, uploading and downloading files, and stuff like that. At the same time, there is a, let's say, X number of imposters among you, and their task is to either kill off the crew members before they can complete their task, or to have equal equilibrium. So if there's, like, say there's two killers, two imposters, you want to make sure there's two imposters and two crew members on the ship. So, I mean, it's, again, if you paid any hidden identity role, The gist of it is the same, which is essentially to create paranoia and distrust among the people who are in that game for you, that game with you, and just force them to not complete their task before you kill them all. I sadly enough to not get to pay the killer, but I did pay the victim several times. So, you know, as usual, you're looking for an extra. And I think it's a ton of fun. I think it's a great communal game. Maybe something we it's $5 on Steam. It's free on mobile. If you have the mobile, it's cross-platform. So if you have the mobile version, iOS or Android with the Steam user and vice versa. I think it would be a good game for us to try out on a Tuesday or whatever we decide to do
with the game night
that we don't do anymore. But yeah, I mean, as far as like being on the top of my game list. I mean, I don't know if it's up there, but I mean, it's a fun game. I don't know if it's my game of the year contender, and I don't know if I paid my game of the year contender this week because I went back to Avengers because I want to give it another honest shot. It still remains the same complaints I've always had with the final game in the beta, which is just like this isn't anything special. Like it's okay.
Yeah, there are levels that I really like. In the game. I finished it. To note, Tony, I saw you were playing it a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I played a little bit more. I have not played a ton of it, but
I like the levels that are like heavily scripted for a single character. Like there's a cool Black Widow level, like where you know, you're going through and being sneaky and doing some platforming and like that stuff is fun. But the stuff where, or I guess it's like the main portion of the end game, which is going to be like these multiplayer missions where they drop you into that large area. And it's basically go to like the point, fight some enemies, get on an elevator, go fight some more enemies, do an objective, which is basically like what, like Control or King of the Hill or something, where you're either controlling one of three points or trying to hold one point for a certain amount of time. That stuff kind of sucks.
Yeah, I've had a mission which was essentially, it was a control to point, but it was also a control to point, and like defend this person from being knocked out. And I'm just like, yeah. Oh, it's my two least favorite missions tied into one.
It's like an escort mission and run around and protect points. Great.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so thrilled that you did this and I get to be the Avengers for it. Oh man, so stoked. Square Enix, you delivered on the game I wanted. I figured if I mentioned this last week, I've mentioned several times now. I play Fortnite way too much now, and one of the most they introduced recent this past week is called Superhero Showdown or Marvel Showdown, and that makes me feel so much more like a Marvel character than Avengers does. There are something like 12 powers in the game. And the game kind of cycles through them randomly for you during this mode. It's a tournament, so you have to defeat 4 teams to win. And you get stuff like Dr. Doom's Gauntlet, which allows you to kind of do like a blast, which has a blast. Or you get like this Dr. Doom Bomb, which allows you to charge up your energies and throw it at people. You get Iron Man's Repulsive Beam, which allows him to either shoot it like Iron Man does with his palm, or you can charge up your chest piece and shoot like a giant beam that has a huge cooldown, but it does a ton of damage. You could do Wolverine.
I killed by that today.
You could do Wolverine's claws, which again, melee does a ton of damage.
That's neat.
You can you have She-Hulk, which again, very strong, very damage oriented. Black Panther has the kinetic charge from the movie, so like. His body armor would take some damage, and after like 5 seconds, that damage will explode and do damage to anybody around you in a certain radius. You get Groot. You can bubble up in the Groot thing to heal up, which if you've seen Guardian of the Galaxy 1 is kind of what he does at the end. So yeah, it's like you get all of these great powers, and you get like, you're not even a Marvel character. You get to feel like more of a Marvel character than you do in Marvel's The Avengers game on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And I'm saying the full title just because I don't think I've been disappointed in a game like this in such a long time. And this is from somebody who had no expectations for this game in the past year, because I swear every time they showed it off, I got SNS anticipated hype for it, and it came out and it's still underdelivered.
I think it's fine, but yeah, I agree with a lot of the complaints you're leveling against it. Also, Tony, I think, leveled this complaint against it last week, but Tony Stark is basically Nathan Drake in this game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not even like trying. Like, Nolan North is just doing the Nathan Drake voice.
Well,
it's probably just his voice. But
I was about to say, at this point, what isn't he doing in like, I feel bad for him because, you know, like, Nathan Drake is kind of the role that took him off. But like, I remember this campaign even back during, what was the Metroidvania game he did on the Xbox 360? Shadow Realm. What was it? That was the Shadow Realm. It was Shadow something.
I don't know.
Crap, I'm going to have to look this up now. But it was like the 2D... It was a 2D
action. Yes, the Epic game.
Yes.
I can't remember.
But yes, even back then, I remember Shadowrun.
If you say that's what it is, sure.
Yeah, I will figure it out. Because Shadowrun's a different game. I'm thinking about it. But it was I remember that complaint being back then that people were like, "Oh, you're just doing Nathan Drake again," and it's like, "Yeah," but at that point, I think even Nathan Drake, I think he had already done Uncharted 1 and 2.
Yep.
And now we're
Shadow Complex.
There we go. Now we're 13 years removed from the original Uncharted, and it's just like he's just doing Nathan Drake, and it might his range. It might just be the only character to do. But it also might just be people get him to do that like, snarky, sarcastic character, and he's happy to take a paycheck. But yeah, and snarky and sarcastic is kind of Iron Man, but it just feels like Nathan Drake again because it's the voice actor, and you just hear it in that.
Yep, it's all I hear. It's like, this is not Tony Stark. it's Nathan Drake pretending he's Tony Stark.
Yeah, and I think I think Tony and I said the same thing, and I assume you have to. I don't know if you have the same thing. I guess I can't speak for you. Is that I think his introduction is really fun. I think when you're going through his makeshift mansion.
Oh yeah, his level's great.
Like picking up all the parts.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's cool, and I think it's a ton of fun. It's a nice way to kind of do his introduction, and then you get him, and it's like, oh, okay, that's pretty much.
Yep. He does have another mission later in the game that's pretty good, but yeah.
And I think his first major mission, where you're just kind of flying through that AIM complex, I think was really cool. But it's also like the whole point of that mission is you're just trying to avoid stuff, and it's really weird when the aim of the game is to avoid using the game's mechanics.
Yeah. He also played back to the voice acting. He also played Cade 6 when they couldn't get Nathan Fillion to come back for Forsaken.
Yeah. And
guess that fits.
You just kind of get him. You just kind of like. You pick up your phone, like voice actor, and like he just just picks up. Like
yep.
he's Superman and Superboy on Justice, which just always seems like easy casting. I mean, it makes sense they're twins, or he's a clone. But I'm just like, yeah, no, you know what? That's not spring me as a Superman. But yeah, I remember, like, I remember the big coming out party for this game, where it was just like, oh, you know, like, we got this all-star cast of voice actors for the game, and it's just like, it is an all-star cast, but it's also an all-star cast in the sense that, like, we didn't try, because it's Nolan North, it's Troy Baker, it's Ron Bailey, it's people who, like, if you were to ask a who's who, like, if you were to say, can you name voice actors in video games, this would be the list. Give them the Avengers roll call.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like you're going to play much more of it.
Oh, I'm going to finish this game. Even if it means one mission a week, I'm going to finish this game so that I can badmouth it every week on this show.
Oh, God. Can't wait.
I just have I finished it, and I have no desire to go back and play it, and that's bad, I think, like, because that should be the, you know, with a game where you're setting it up, you want to keep playing it. And...
Well, from what I understand from the people on the interwebs, like, once you hit level 50, that's when the game really gets going, because the characters feel so good. And, you know, it's always a great defense when you say you just need to put in, like, 30 hours into a game to really get that bacon frying.
No, I put 13 hours in, and I had a decent amount of fun with it, but I do not want to play anymore. The loot sucks. The missions that I'm going to have to play if I play more of it are samey and kind of dull and boring and run the same loop. So I'm good. I got my time out of it. Tony, you're going to finish it?
I'll try to. I think now that I'm done with Madden, it's going to be my Xbox go-to for a little bit. There's nothing out until the flying game.
Squadron.
That is not true, because in 35 minutes Eastern Standard Time.
No, I mean on Xbox.
On Xbox. That's you can't play Mario on Xbox.
I'm like so tempted to download that shit.
Don't do it. Wait a few hours and save the $60.
For real.
My copy will be here. You want
to. Hey, just think of those magical words. It's Mario.
I think you should do that.
So I can play for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. So and then go to bed.
So I can watch the fucking opening cutscene of Super Mario Sunshine before I go to bed.
It's a long cutscene. Awesome. It's like a 10-minute intro to that game.
I know.
It is weird, and I guess we'll talk about this more next week. It is weird. I always forget that Super Mario Sunshine was actually the introduction of like they've always had a quote unquote story, but it's like the introduction of actual cinematics into the Mario universe.
Yeah,
tons of voice acting.
Yeah, which they kind of ditch after that.
Questionable voice acting.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend this week, and I completely forgot that was the introduction of Bowser Jr. Because he's just been around forever now. That I forget that he makes that appearance in that game. And it has... we can talk about this now. That's one of my absolute favorite moments in a Mario game, where somehow Peach is dumb enough not to know that she's given birth or not. So like Water Mario is like Mama, she's like, wait, is it my son? It's like,
oh wow,
you should know.
Did you have a water baby or not? Were you pregnant? Oh wow. You play anything else, Earl?
What have I? Oh, I mean, I did not get too far into it. I literally just started playing the Messenger before we started this podcast.
I played some of that.
Yeah, like, I was recently.
I played a lot of that.
You know, I will big up day and day every day how great Xbox Game Pass is. But I'm also like, I should probably use it more. And so I was just going through the games, and like this, I wanted to play the Messenger. There's a few games I wanted to play, and so I downloaded this. And I mean, literally, I played like maybe 15, 20 minutes. I'm still in the open area, and so far, so good. And I also played, crap, what was the other game I played this week that was relatively new? I am saying words to hope that it would jog my memory while I am thinking of it.
Hotshot Racing.
I almost downloaded that because you have been talking about it so much in the group chat that I was like really curious, but I don't think it was going to download the time for me to play it.
Oh, it's super small.
Yeah.
It's like 4 gigs, but like literally this is like 9 something. I'm like, oh, I could download another game to talk about on this show. And while we were distracted and I was trying to figure it out, I remember the other game I played, which is Portal Knight.
Okay, so, I've heard of this one.
Yes, and I think it's also Games with...
It was a Games with Gold game.
And I played it, and I don't know if you folks remember or not, I mentioned that I've never played Minecraft, but I had played Minecraft Dungeon, and I finished yesterday.
Wait,
and
how have you never played Minecraft?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't know. But I was playing it, and I'm like, oh, this seems like a ton of fun. And literally everything I was pointing out, like, this seems cool. My friend would be like, this is just Minecraft. This is the same exact thing as Minecraft. So I'm going to take his word for it that this is pretty much just Minecraft in another form.
Minecraft Dungeons? So,
well, no, like, Minecraft.
Okay.
It's like you'll mine, for instance, like the first few missions we had was kill enemies or whatever. But, like, you kill enemies and you'll take cotton and you'll turn cotton into cloth. Use the cloth to make armor, or you'll mine rubies, gold, and stuff like that, and that will make like a workbench and the pickaxe and stuff like that. And then you'll use the environment to get these materials. And I thought it was fun, but like literally everything I was saying that was kind of cool and nifty. My friend was like, "This is Minecraft. This is literally just Minecraft."
I have amazing news, guys.
Yeah?
Minecraft is out.
I went out to get a beer, like, I don't know, like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I go out into the living room, and my girlfriend is playing fucking Tony Hawk. So I think that tells you all you need to know about how awesome Tony Hawk is. Like, that's, I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Awesome. Jeff, you mentioned it. Hot Shot Racing.
Yeah. Game Pass.
Yeah.
It is a, like, an ode to 90s arcade racers, kind of.
Yeah, in a way, sure.
I mean, it looks a lot like Virtual Racing.
Virtual Racing, it looks very much like that, yeah.
You know, has that style, super bright and colorful.
Very big, just, blocky polygons.
Yes, yes. It's kind of, you know, structured a little bit like Mario Kart. Like, it's got, I think it's 4 Grand Prix, right?
Yep.
Something like that.
And they can be mirrored, so technically, I guess there's 8. But.
And, you know, the actual gameplay itself is, you know, it's fun, fast, arcadey racing that's, like, kind of, I'd say it's, like, all kind of centered around drifting, because you...
It's how you build up your boost for the most part, yeah.
Yep. That's basically it. I think I get a big kick out of it, because I was a big fan of virtual racing when I was a kid. Like, it's probably hard for people to understand now, but, like, when virtual racing came out, it was mind-blowing. Like, at least for me it was. I was like, whoa, this is, like...
Yeah, it was
never going to get better than this, you know?
It's a huge step up. Like, I mean, yeah. A 3D racing game, that huge step up from what we had on a, you know, Super Nintendo or a Genesis, so...
And I just like games with that personality, like with an announcer being like, yeah, you did it. You know, like, I don't know. I just dig that, like, that whole style. Like, I love, like, the bright, colorful levels. Like, there's, like, one that's, you know, supposed to basically be Vegas. And you see, like,
that was cool.
Super low poly Bellagio fountain in it and shit like that. Like, I don't know. I think
it has a neat art style, though. Cause, like, it's not. If you go back and play virtual racing now, like, the game is muddy and, like, it's just, like, it's kind of ugly looking today. But this, like, you know, I think we said it with, you know, with Tony Hawk and stuff, that kind of recaptures what you remember it looking like at the time. So, like, that's what this does. Like, it's really, it's pretty, but it has, like, that classic look to it.
Well, I was thinking about it too. Like, one, like, virtual racing is what, like, 3 levels, and this is, yeah, you know, this is more
16.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, you know, back in those 90s arcade racers, I don't remember drifting really being a thing. That's something that kind of came about in the modern era, at least, unless I'm wrong. If someone wants to tell me that I'm wrong, like, no, Daytona USA was all about, you know, drifting. I don't remember that.
I don't remember any of, like, the, I mean, I remember, like, you would drift in, like, Mario Kart, but
I think they might have been one of the ones that started. Well, in Super Nintendo one?
N64. That's where I specifically remember playing it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of how you remember things, but, you know, they're really not. Like, there's modern touches.
Yep. And it has, like, a couple different modes.
I think the game, like, is... Oh, yeah, that's right. There's the, there's Cops and Robbers, where, you know, the name says it all. There's another one. What was it called, Chris? Like, the speed
drive
one?
Drive or Explode.
Drive. Yes, Drive or Explode. It's kind of like Speed, where it's, like, you must maintain this miles per hour or your car's going to explode. But the meter keeps going up as the race goes on, so it becomes more and more, like, it's like you're driving, like, 180 miles an hour, and the meter's at, like, 175. So if you accidentally, like, hit a wall on a turn, you're gonna, like, you're fucked. I think that mode's pretty neat. I'm interested to hear what you think about the game, because, like, I think I kind of agree with you, Chris, but I think I give the game more credit because I dig the style of it.
Yeah, it's neat. Like, I had fun playing it, but it's, like, super shallow, right? Like, there's the 4 Grand Prix, there's time trials, and then there's these other two modes, which are, they're fine. Like, I could see if you were playing with somebody else, like, I don't know if it has couch co-op or not, but if you were playing with friends, like, those modes could be like a lot of fun. Like Cops and Robbers is basically, basically it's like Infected, right? Like you start off as like there's six or seven racers that aren't cops.
Yeah.
And then the cops have to chase you and damage your car, to turn you into a cop to chase the other cars down. So that one's fun. And, then the driver explode one is neat. But I've not been able to finish that race because the AI is so fucking aggressive with like attacking you.
Another thing I noticed, like, you know, so I beat the game like very quickly, like within like an hour on normal. But as soon as you go above normal, it's fucking like brutal with you. And there's another higher difficulty above that. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, man. I'm not going to play on like expert or whatever it is. Like,
a lot of the achievements are under that to like do this. But there is a lot of like, I think what's going to keep me going back to it at least for a little bit is there's a lot of achievements that are under just the arcade mode. Like, so doing single races. Yep. Like, I don't know why they weren't incorporated into the Grand Prix mode.
Yeah, so I like, looked at it. I was like, I know whatever. I did this, right? Different. Like, and it's. But it's specifically tied to arcade mode, or there's some stuff for like you can get by playing it online as well. It's fun.
It's one of those ones though. Like I wish I could like talk people who come over into like, hey, let's do this instead of playing Mario Kart for the 8 millionth time. But I just know the reality of life is I'm just doomed to play Mario Kart 8 for the rest of time.
Oh right. No, Your Pace is a great and fantastic game.
All right, dude, but I've been playing it for fucking a long time now, man. Like,
yeah, it's like this is a different challenge. There's different
something courses different, and like
different characters, and each of the characters. So there's 8 different characters, and they each have 4 different types of cars, which are all customizable by doing certain things and using your money you earn. And actually, if you play as them in the Grand Prix, they have different endings.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. Like,
I played as Alexa, and there's like this whole like emotional ending where she's like, "I wish my dad could be here to see me." And I'm like, "I didn't know any of this, but okay."
I went back to the garage, and like, it's like a weird. It's like the fighting game endings you get in like those old PlayStation fighting games. It's like, what does this have to do with anything? But it's kind of, it's hysterical.
It's cool.
Alexa does have a good quip though. Where she's like, pick your own damn music or something like that. where she kind of makes fun of the fact that her, she's named after the
assistant.
So, it's fun. It's a neat little game.
Almost bought it on, Switch, thank God! Like I found it on Game Pass. I was like, "Oh, I was gonna get this." Fuck. I'd say since it's on Game Pass, you should definitely check it out. I don't know what it is. It's like probably $20, something like that.
I don't know. I saw that it had come up on Game Pass. I was like, "That looks neat." And then you started talking about it, so that's why I downloaded it.
Well, I'm with you, Chris. I'm happy it was free. I think. I don't think I'd be mad if I paid $20 for it, but it just doesn't seem like a game I'm going to play too much more after this.
Yeah, I think like I've now put, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 hours into it. I'm good. Like I know that I'm never going to play it like with other people, so
yeah,
I'm probably good on having gotten what I got out of it. So
why don't you play it with Jeff?
We could. But it's like you have to create all like I don't know if you can even create private games, so it's like we would have to create a lobby and then other people could join us, and that's no fun.
Other people are always great.
Other people suck.
Yeah, I would agree with Tony on that one.
Wow. And I'm generally bad at like online racing game, like playing against other people in racing games. I like playing racing games, but give me the AI where I can like
give me my friends who I can fucking destroy. And then it's like me with Mario Kart. I'm like, everyone's like, oh, you're so good. That's why you like this. I'm like, dude, if I go online, it's the same thing with Tony Hawk, where like everyone who knows me in real life thinks I'm like the savant at Tony Hawk. And I'm like, no, trust me, I'm not. Like, I'm okay. Like, I'm decent, like average player, but man, like people are so much, people like have Tony Hawk down to a science. And I do not like that. Like,
yeah, these are people that are pulling like 100 million point combos.
Dude, I saw this guy on YouTube pull. He has a video. It says 164 million points on hangar. So in 2 minutes, he got 164 million fucking points. Like, I don't.
How's it even possible?
It's amazing to me. Like, I'm not a person who could do a million points right now. Like, you know, I'm 250,000 maybe. Like, I'm very average. But compared to my friends who get like 20,000 points, they think I'm like a god.
Right.
Like, no, trust me, dude. I'm not that good.
Besides Hotshot Racing and Tony Hawk, you play anything else?
Not really, no. We'll leave it at that.
Tony, play anything else?
Not really. Just Avengers, Madden. I played a little more Crusader Kings 3. Did more horrible things.
I mean, that seems to be what that game is. It's like a horrible thing simulator.
I murdered a 12-year-old boy.
Jesus.
There was this little principality bordering my kingdom, and I wanted it. And they had an ally with this other country that was much, much bigger and had a much larger army. I was like, how can I break up this alliance? And it was built on a marriage between a 12-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl, so I killed one of them.
Well. I hope
Game of the year.
Goes through our audio and like cuts stuff out.
You should just cut around that and just have the entire episode being like, I killed a 12-year-old boy.
I killed a 12-year-old boy. It's the only other thing I played was I finished Tell Me Why, the Don't Nod adventure game that's exclusive to Xbox.
Did they tell you why?
I guess. I mean, there is a reveal. The first two episodes I thought were very predictable, and it actually sets it up so that I was thinking. The premise is that like you've killed your mom, like, and your twin takes the fall for it, and he gets sent off to this rehabilitation facility for troubled kids, because you know he's a murderer, and he transitions one of the main characters, trans character. So you're playing as Allie and Tyler, and you reunite and you're exploring your old house and the past, and you live in this small town in Alaska and trying to piece together everything that happened and why your mom, like, why things happened on the night when you ended up killing your mom because you thought she was going to kill your twin. And there's like lots of mysteries to unravel, and ultimately it comes down to like, all right, we figured out why mom was the way she was, but like there's these clues pointing to like maybe who our dad is, and they kind of like point you in one direction and turns out not to be that, and they just kind of like come out of nowhere with this is who the dad is. Like, oh,
it's actually Ronald McDonald.
Something like that. It's like, it's not quite absurd like that, but it is like, wow, this is just kind of, all right, I wasn't expecting that. That's it. It's really like just this mystery story about you trying to unravel your past and find out, you know, why your mother was the way she was, and ultimately like who your father was and why he abandoned you. It's like, if you like that type of adventure game that, you know, they did, what was it, Life is Strange? You know, if you like Life is Strange or Life is Strange 2, this is another one of those. It's three episodes long, but each of the episodes is like 3 hours, so it's still a like a 10-hour game, which is about the length of Life is Strange. I don't know. It wasn't like mind blowing or anything, but it was interesting enough, I guess. And that was it for me. Earl, anything else from you?
Nope. Outside of my stupid, dirty, goofy Metroid arm that I got, which is super awesome. But outside of that, yeah, I'm good.
So you're like slowly building yourself a Samus suit? Like,
I don't even know. I am in quarantine and I have money to spend. That is my excuse for everything right now. So, yeah. That's why I'm disappointed these consoles didn't sell me, because I am ready to throw $500 willingly at anything right now.
You could throw $50 at WWE Battlegrounds.
I am debating it if reviews were out.
Yeah, it's not great that they're not out there.
I am probably the only person in the world checking reviews for this game, and none of them are out right now. So.
I am looking for reviews as well. I will, if they are moderately decent, I may pick that game up.
And if they're just moderate, I'm also expecting them to make $20 by the end of October. So we'll see.
Also probably true. So the big game is obviously Mario 3D All-Stars, which unlocks in 13 minutes.
Yep.
For Earl, Jeff and I are waiting on our physical copies.
Me too.
I'm also waiting on my physical copy.
So we will have that next week. I guess Mafia isn't until after we record next week. So
I mean, potentially Hades, depending on how drunk I get tonight or tomorrow night.
Potentially Hades, but we'll definitely have some Mario Galaxy talk and maybe some shitty sunshine.
Some sunshine. I will also say, because I have to put it out there. I watched the video. I hear that there is some audio lag in Super Mario 64. Apparently, if you pay attention to it, there's like a half second where Mario jumps where his sound effect is just off. I have no idea. I was watching this Digital Foundry video, and they were like audio lag, and they showed the videos, like they show back and back. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here.
It's like, it's not enough that you're noticing, but Digital Foundry has found it. They have.
Well, I have not noticed it. I'm just like watching it. I'm just like, I don't know what you're trying to point out to me. It's like when he jumps, I guess the sound lags just a bit. Like the sound effects that lag just a bit. But the lag is probably like 1/110th of a second. And it's like one of those things where people, like, I remember Mario Kart 8 came out on Wii U. And there were people who were so upset that randomly it would drop to 59 frames per second.
It's like, it's not a steady 60.
Yeah, and I'm not even joking. There really, like, it would happen like once every so often. It would drop to 59 frames per second. And that became a big thing. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You are insane.
You're going to tell me you can tell the difference between 59 and 60 frames per second.
Yeah, I honestly speaking, I'm watching videos. I watch these comparison videos, and I'm like, I still can't tell the difference between 60 and 30. Like, I know there's a difference, but like, I can't tell it, and I feel like I'm just a bad gamer for it at some point.
Well, you go play Mario 64 and be bothered by that lag you can't notice. I am going to start with Sunshine when I get it, and maybe hate myself for playing this game.
But it's not a bad game. I don't understand.
I really don't.
It's not bad. You're right.
I beat up on Sunshine a ton this week. I think the... I think even as an average or just a good Mario game, it's still a game that I would recommend to people. But also just like watching videos of it, I am also like, I've blacked out so much of this game from like just like bad memories. Like I always think of like stuff like there's the scuffle behind one of the levels which is just like the camera to fight you the entire time getting up. The fridge itself wasn't. Then the people show like that giant bird. I'm just like, oh god, it's all coming back to me now.
Like, yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, I'm like, all those horrific memories of Sunshine. It's like, it's a good game. It's just like, it has some really, really difficult spikes in it. And it's not like, it's some of it is difficulty. Some of it is just like, you're fighting the camera half the time.
Yeah, I'm hoping maybe that's been improved. I don't know.
It's non-inverted now. So that was a huge thing for me. And they fixed that. But the weird thing is like, you can't go into the settings and switch it back to inverted. So if you're a person that like really
enjoyed the controls,
yeah, like if you're like really a Sunshine veteran and purist on it, like just so weird. Why just put it as an option? Like, I don't know.
I mean, out of it is, I think a lot of this.
But I'm happy, so that's all that matters.
A lot of decisions are weird on paper. Like, I think the one that people pointed out that makes sense, but it's also like, why didn't you just like fix it is a 64. If you've seen the N64 controller, it has one analog stick. So you use the C stick to control the camera, which meant that it wasn't full analog. It's just kind of using the pad. And it's like, it's mapped to the second analog stick on the Switch, but it doesn't function like that.
Yeah, but it's still the same camera.
Yeah, it's not even the camera, it's the controls. It's like, why not just give me full control of it other than it's like weird, like you can move it piecemeal one by one with the button press.
That would have required work.
Yeah. So it's one of those things.
I'm excited to play Galaxy though. So
I'm excited for honestly all three of them. Like, yeah, I just think I'm going to circle back to 64. I don't know. We'll see how my heart feels when I load it up. I might just go straight into 64. I don't know.
I mean, I guess we'll figure out more next to really talk about it. But on paper, you are still looking at a collection of three games that are at the always 92 right now.
Three excellently critically acclaimed games. So.
And big games. You know, I understand people want to like complain, but I don't know. I'm happy to be getting it. Very happy. Oh,
and that's the thing. And that was the discussion that came up with reviews this week. Is do you review it as a collection as a whole, or you could review it based on the games that it is? Because based on the game, like no matter what it is, I guess Nintendo found some way to butcher the translation. These are still three great. I mean. Again, even with Sunshine, at worst, you're going to have a good game.
Right.
And then you have one of the... I'm not even going to say one of. It is the defining 3D game of an era. And personally speaking, one of my favorite games of all time in Galaxy.
Yeah.
I said on Twitter, if Nintendo was to just put Galaxy in 1080p and got 60 bucks on it, I would have been there day one.
Yeah,
probably yes.
Same. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think all four of us are getting this game, so we will all have opinions on it next week. So,
ahoo.
So yeah, we'll be back with Mario 3D All Stars next week, and maybe some tales about trying to pre-order an Xbox Series X.
Oh, definitely some of those.
Oh, Jesus, is that next? I feel like September has just vanished.
Tuesday at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time.
I mean, it is so nice that a console manufacturer is like actually given a time date for their pre-orders that isn't just like, I hope you're by the computer at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yep. I have the time blocked off of my Outlook calendar. Sorry, work.
That's
best. Might even be like, tell my son, like, get on Amazon too. Like, let's go. Gotta get that machine. So.
Gotta get it.
So we'll be back with all of that next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.